Welcome to the special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Today's program is brought to you by Davis Auto Collision, Monty Welding and Machine, Community State Bank, John's TV and Appliance, Denhart Concrete, Farm Bureau Financial Services Agent Damon Clancy, the DMAC campuses in Boone and Carroll, Hamilton Ready Mix, Countywide Electric, Green County Community Center, Motor Inn of Carroll, Peyton Sherdan Community Schools, Uptown Cafe, Medicap Pharmacy, State Farm Insurance Agent Lee Horbach, ISU Extension and Outreach in Green County, the Green County Medical Center, Fix-A-Lot Handyman Service, Green County Community Schools, and Iowa Central Community College. This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Davis Auto Collision, Monty Welding and Machine, and Community State Bank.
And welcome back to our special Health and Wealth programs here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Coltrane Carlson here with you as our topic now is about investments. And here to help us to do that is our special guest from Journey Financial is Tim Heisterkamp. He's a certified financial planner, and his office is located in Home State Bank in Jefferson. So thank you very much, Tim, for being on.
Thank you for having me, Coltrane.
You bet. Well, Tim, I guess for the very first question here to get people a little interested in investments, can you just tell us what kinds or different types of investments people can do?
Well, Coltrane, the most common types of investments people will do when they're trying to build a portfolio for retirement are mutual funds. Mutual funds are, it's a one-stop shop. You buy one fund and you're immediately diversified anywhere from maybe 40 to 50 different stocks to maybe up to several hundred. There are some mutual funds out there that are what we call balance funds that not only invest in stocks, but they'll also invest in bonds. But mutual funds are by far the most common type of an investment, especially the early investor or the young investor will get involved in. After that, you can actually go out and buy individual stocks. You can go out and buy individual bonds as well. And people don't always think about it, but a savings account and a CD, a certificate of deposit that a bank offers, is also an investment that people will have. And then you can really go on beyond that. There's gold and silver, there's land, there's real estate, there's just all sorts of investments that people can do. But for my world, most people are interested in mutual funds, stocks, and bonds.
Can you explain kind of the difference between mutual funds and bonds? I know people hear those terms, but I don't know if they understand what those terms mean.
A mutual fund is really, again, just a diversified portfolio with one investment. So if I went out and bought, for an example, a fund out there called the American Funds Balance Fund. Very, very common fund. A lot of people own it. And that is a fund where all investors pool their money together. They send it into this company called American Funds. The manager of that fund will decide what stocks to purchase and what bonds to purchase. So that particular fund actually invests in both stocks of individual companies and bonds as well. And the mutual fund can be a 100% stock. It can be a 100% bond fund. Or it could be a combination of both, and that's when we get into the things we call balance funds.
In different stages of life, are there different kinds of investments that people should be doing, or what do you have to say about that?
Well, it's interesting because I kind of have a different approach to that. I use a buckets of money strategy where no matter how old you are, you need to have some money set aside for short-term goals. You also need to have some money set aside for long-term goals. So for somebody like you that is as young as you, you need to be setting money aside for retirement. But what about emergencies that come up? What if your car breaks down? Or what if you need new tires on your cars? Where are you going to get that money? So there's a need to have money set aside for short term and midterm. And so midterm would be maybe you have a big anniversary coming up in 5 years and you want to take your wife on this wonderful vacation. So maybe you need to be setting some money aside that you're not going to use for 5 years down the road. And then, of course, there's always setting money aside for retirement. That's the long-term money. Now, let me talk a little bit about this a little further. Mm-hmm. Let's pretend that you're 65 or 67 years old and you're getting ready to retire. You need to invest the same way. Your investments should be set aside for short-term, midterm, and long-term goals. Because at age 65, you might live another 30 years. So what do you do at 65? Do you put all your money into a very conservative bucket? Well, that may not be a very good idea because if you still have 30 years of life left, you have to beat inflation and you need some money still invested in equities, that stocks, for that long-term goal.
Now, let's kind of shift a little bit and explain to us, should or can someone invest if they have debt?
Well, it depends. It depends on how much debt they have and how much money they make. A lot of people say, hey, Tim, I just don't have any room in my budget to invest. Well, to me, it's probably not so much as an income problem versus a spending problem. You know, if you ask any older person, they will tell you automatically to invest at least 10% of your income and then adjust your budget, adjust your spending to where you're still able to save, so you're not spending all your income. But that said, going back to somebody who has debt, because I get this question a lot, and it is, should I pay off debt or should I invest? Well, I'm going to bring up the retirement plans that you may have at your employer at this time, because if you have a retirement plan with your employer and your employer has a matching 401k, in other words, if you put in a dollar, they put in a dollar, well, to me, that's 100% return on your money before it's even invested anywhere else. So I'm going to tell somebody that even though they have debt, if they have access to a 401k plan, they need to be investing in a 401k plan to get the company match. If they're struggling, then they really need to sit down with a financial planner or somebody else to help them figure out their budget so that they can try to decrease their spending so that they can make ends meet.
And once again, we're talking with Tim Heisterkamp. He's a certified financial planner with Journey Financial, talking about investments here on our special Health and Wealth program. We'll be right back after this here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth has been brought to you by John's TV and Appliance, Denhart Concrete, and Farm Bureau Financial Services agent Damon Clancy. This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by the DMAC campuses in Boone and Carroll, Hamilton Ready Mix, and Countywide Electric.
Welcome back, everybody, to our special Health and Wealth program here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. We're talking with Tim Heisterkamp, a certified financial planner, about investments. And so now, Tim, let's talk a little bit about whether or not you think it's a good idea for those who have 401k plans through their company to go ahead and invest with that 401k.
Well, again, I look back at it, and most companies' retirement plans do have a matching contribution. And if they have the match, then I'm going to tell you, yes, you need to do that. And you need to do that before you even come and invest with me. Go to the human resources person at the place that you work and ask if they have a 401k. They should be telling you that already. But make sure that if you have one and they have a match, that you're getting into that, because it is just so important to do that.
Well, another thing that people get confused an awful lot, myself included, is the difference between a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA. Can you explain the two?
Yeah. You know, I wish I had a whiteboard right now where I can draw my pictures, because what I want you to do is I want you to think of three different buckets of money. You can invest in an investment that is taxable. In other words, you have to pay taxes on it every year. The second bucket you can invest in is something that is tax deferred. Now, tax deferred investment is like your 401k or your IRA. The taxes that you pay are deferred to a later date. What's the later date? Well, that's the date that you take the money out of the account. And whenever you take the money out of a 401k or an IRA, you have to pay tax. That's the tax deferral. Now, my favorite bucket of money is the money that is tax-free. Tax, never. You never have to pay income tax on this, and that is the Roth IRA. I love the Roth IRA because when you put money in there, you will never have to pay tax as long as you leave it in there for 5 years and you're 59 and a half before you take it out. Now, there are penalties if you take that out before you're 59 and a half on the earnings that you make, but if you can leave that Roth IRA in there till you're 59 and a half, then it is going to come out tax-free. I just love saying that, Coltrane, tax-free.
So how does someone get set up then for a Roth IRA? Because I'm guessing people love hearing the word free all the time.
Yeah, well, the Roth IRA is easy to set up. You can go to the bank if you're a real conservative investor, and you can put your money into a bank CD. Every bank has a Roth IRA. And then financial advisors like me, we all set up Roth IRAs for people. And the investments, after we set up the Roth IRA, that can get decided later. If you're an aggressive investor, you can invest in an aggressive investment. If you're a conservative investor, you can invest in a conservative investment. The Roth IRA is the umbrella term. So once you get the umbrella term, you can, or open up the Roth IRA, then you can decide what investments you want to put it in.
All right. And then something else that I'm sure maybe some people have on their minds too is, in general, how does an investor get paid? Because we're investing all this money in a financial planner or with a bank or whoever we choose as an investor. How do they get paid in return?
People do pay me for advice, just like they pay their doctor, just like they pay their lawyer, just like they would pay a plumber, any professional who comes in and gives them advice and actually performs a service for them. So there's two ways I actually charge. I will charge you a transaction fee. People know those as commissions. So whenever I make a trade, I get paid as I go. What's become more and more popular is charging an assets under management fee. So I would charge people a flat fee for the year based on how much money that they have with me. We can trade as much as they can and they never pay a transaction fee. And they just pay that flat fee for all the advice. And the advice not only includes in investments, but there's usually some tax planning strategies, some estate planning strategies, even education planning strategies, paying for college education. So there's just a lot of advice and a lot of financial planning that goes into those asset managed fee-based accounts.
All right. And then something else for people to maybe be aware of, if they've never have tried investing before, but they want to go out and see what it's all about, what are some things that you can offer as far as for people to be aware of when they're wanting to select an investment company?
Well, I guess when you're looking at an investment company, you got to decide if you want to be a do-it-yourselfer. And there are places you can go online and do it yourself. But studies show that a lot of times do-it-yourselfers don't always do so well because they get so emotional about their investments and they let their emotions dictate that they should be selling when they're buying or they should be buying when they're selling. They just kind of, a lot of times people do the opposite of what they should be doing. So if you want to do it yourself, that's fine. But there's financial advisors out here that, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I am a CFP. I have studied. I do this day in and day out, and I feel like the value that I bring to the table is to help people make the right decisions and put their money in the right buckets and have a plan. You know, I grew up with a father who always said, have a plan and work your plan. And that's kind of what I do. As I tell people, make sure you have some sort of a financial plan and just work it. Because when you do that, you'll have a lot of financial success in the end. But not all financial advisors are created equal. So that's where you really need to stop and interview and talk to a financial advisor and make sure that they really have your best interests in mind.
And then once again, this is our special health and wealth program here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. We'll be right back to talk more about our investments topic with Tim Heisterkamp, a certified financial planner. You're listening to the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth has been brought to you by Greene County Community Center, Motor Inn of Carroll, and the Peyton Sherdan Community School District. This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth is brought to you by Uptown Cafe, Medicap Pharmacy, State Farm Insurance Agent Lee Horbach, and ISU Extension and Outreach of Greene County.
And welcome back, everybody, to our special health and wealth programs here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Coltrane Carlson here as we continue to talk about investments with Tim Heisterkamp. He's a certified financial planner with Journey Financial. And so, Tim, let's talk a little bit about, you know, if somebody wants to meet with an investor for the first time, what should they have with them to bring to that first meeting?
Well, Coltrane, what I like the best is one, if they have investments, I like to see statements from all your investments. And even if you have a 401k plan, I like to see what you're doing there and how that is invested. But to tell you the truth, one of the most important things that you can bring to your financial advisor is your tax return. Now, people say, wow, that's pretty personal, Tim. I don't know if I wanted to show you my tax return. Well, it tells me a lot. That just shows me so much information about your financial status and about what we should be doing. And possibly there's some tax advantage investments that you should be investing in that you're not. Mm. And so the tax return and statements are some of the most important things that you can bring me.
One of the final questions we have here is, if an investment company or an investment, I guess, is not doing exactly what you thought you wanted to have happen with your plan, how long do you wait until you make a change?
Well, there I'm looking at individual investments. So if I have an individual investment that I would put your money in, for an example, and it was a 5-star investment, and we went with that for 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden it got demoted down to a 3-star or even a 2-star investment, there's always usually a reason why. Maybe they made a bad bet. Maybe they were just early on what they thought was going to happen, and that's why that gets demoted down to maybe a 1, 2, or a 3-star investment. I usually don't kick those out of the portfolio right away. I give the fund manager a chance to bring that investment back. If he does bring it back or she brings it back within a year, then I'll keep it. But if it stays down there at that 1 or 2 star level or even a 3 star for very long, I will eventually boot that out of the portfolio and replace it with somebody who's managing the money a little bit better. Now, let's take an individual stock. Maybe you invest in a company and you thought it was going to perform pretty well, and then it just really had a bad year. Well, then you got to pop the hood. You got to figure out why this investment did not perform very well. And if there's evidence that says this is not going to come back, then you need to sell the stock. And a lot of times people don't like to sell stock losers, but I always look at it this way. It's like, what's going to make your money back faster, a different company or a company that is struggling? So I will sell those companies that are struggling and who are not making much money, even though it's a loser, get rid of it, find something else to replace it with.
And the final question here for you, Tim, is when somebody comes to wanting to do some investing, but they're just not sure about how much money they should invest right off the start, do you have any strategies or ways that you kind of help those individuals?
Oh, Coltrane, that's a great question. It's probably one of my favorite things to do. So many times people think when they have to come in and see me, they have to have tens of thousands of dollars just to start investing. And most people don't. And so they never really start. So what I really love, and I love this when young kids get out of high school or get out of college and they come into my office and say, I want to start investing, but I don't have anything. So there's a method of investing called dollar cost averaging. And that is just simply when a person says they take $50 or $75 or $100 per month and they invest that into their investment portfolio, just like they pay their light bill or their rent. It comes out of their checking account automatically on the same day every month, and it goes right into a mutual fund. And that way they're starting to build up a portfolio. And if you do that over the course of a 10-year period or 15-year period, you'd be surprised on how much money you have built up in your investment portfolio in that amount of time. This is the way that you invest in a 401k plan or a 403b plan. Again, it's a method of investing called dollar cost averaging. You put the same amount of money into your investment portfolio on the same day every month, and you'll be surprised how that builds up over time.
And that'll do it for our topic of investing here with Tim Heisterkamp, a certified financial planner with Journey Financial. His office is located in Home State Bank in Jefferson. This has been Coltrane Carlson for the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
This segment of our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth has been brought to you by Greene County Medical Center, Fix It A Lot Handyman Service, Greene County Community School, and Iowa Central Community College. Thank you for tuning in to our special edition in-depth news magazine called Health and Wealth on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. Today's program has been brought to you by Davis Auto Collision, Monty Welding and Machine, Community State Bank, John's TV and Appliance, Denhart Concrete, Farm Bureau Financial Services Agent Damon Clancy, DMAC Campuses in Boone and Carroll, Hamilton Ready Mix, Countywide Electric, Greene County Community Center, Motor Inn of Carroll, the Peyton Sherdan Community School District, Uptown Cafe, Medicap Pharmacy, State Farm Insurance Agent Lee Horbach, ISU Extension and Outreach of Greene County, the Greene County Medical Center, Fix-A-Lot Handyman Service, Greene County Community Schools, and Iowa Central Community College.